This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly check-in live from Salem with State Senator David Brocksmith. A busy time in Salem. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Good to be here just off the Senate floor. Did you text the Senate president and tell him that we had an interview to do today at 12:30?
I thought about it, but that I thought better of it. That doesn't seem to always be a good idea. I know that timing on these sessions is a little tricky. The pace, you could walk into a meeting and feel like it's going to take half hour and it takes an hour, or the reverse. A lot of elements, on whatever side of the aisle you're on, seems like it really requires a lot of flexibility just in dealing with being a legislator and dealing with all these meetings and the committees and constituents as well.
Oh, it's extremely busy. You have meetings every 15 to 30 minutes when you're not on the floor, and you never know what type of discussion one bill or another is going to bring. You try to gauge that so you don't know how long you're going to be on the floor. I mean, we only got through on the Senate side. I think we had 15 bills on the docket, and we didn't even get through half of them today. Because in the beginning of the Senate floor, we of course have courtesies, and that could take longer. We have remonstrances. We're at the House, they have courtesies in the beginning and remonstrances in the end. And then when it comes to committees, I think you're referencing that as well. Whenever you're having hearings, really the chair needs to manage those committee hearings. Sometimes they put 8, 10, 12 bills up for a public hearing, which limits, they're only an hour and a half. So that, of course, limits the amount of time that people can testify. And it's really up to the chairs, or the Democrats that control those committees, to make sure that they don't do that, so that we have the opportunity for the public to give testimony on bills that either they support or they're adamantly opposed to.
So talk about what you were going over this morning on the floor.
Oh, it was a number of bills. I'd actually rather talk about what's coming up, and the fact that we have our Senate Bill 512, which is the bill that, as you know, in the governor's budget, the rock funding for the Rock Creek Hatchery and the Rock Creek Hatchery was set to close. Myself and Representative Osborne and Representative Boyce have put forward Senate Bill 512, which keeps Rock Creek going. As a hatchery, of course, it allocates $1.4 million to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to keep the hatchery going there. And we are going to be hearing that this Thursday, the 27th, in the Senate Committee on Natural Resources and Wildfire. We need to keep that hatchery going for and rearing, of course, our Coho salmon and winter steelhead salmon and Chinook salmon. There at Rock Creek, they're partnering with, of course, Coal Rivers to keep part of the fish rearing over there, just to make sure that, as far as water temperature and just viability. And as you know, we have been working with the department, and they had a meet and greet in town hall, so to speak, down in Roseburg a few weeks ago on this issue. So I encourage everyone to submit testimony in support of Senate Bill 512 and the -2 amendment, where we can then fund the Rock Creek Hatchery and the work. And part of that work is, of course, in partnership with the Cow Creek Cow Creek Band of Indians and their tribe. I appreciate that partnership with them in their natural resources department and what they're doing with ODF&W out there at Rock Creek Hatchery. Then additionally, there's a bad bill in that committee on has a public hearing up on that Thursday, and that's Senate Bill 75. Of course, this is Senator Golden's Natural Resources and Wildfire Committee. And it really goes after, you know, unfortunately, as we're trying to come together in a bipartisan manner to fix these wildfire maps that have really impacted our rural landowners. And we do have, of course, Senator Robinson and I have drafted legislation. Kyle, you've seen those that press release from last week where we are repealing those wildfire maps and the other harmful things within the bill, but preserving the resources not only for our fire district, because the bill brought in nearly over $7 million in resources to our fire departments and in Senate District 1. For apparatuses and so forth, but we're repealing the bad parts, keeping the good parts, and that's in the dash 4 minute to Senator Robinson's Senate Bill 678, as well as the Natural Resources and Wildfire Committee bill relating to wildfire. It's a dash 4 amendment to Senate Bill 83. I worked with Leader Drazen and Representative Osborne and Representative Boyce and others over in the House to craft identical language as what's in our amendments over here in the Senate. And that's House Bill 3944, which is scheduled for a public hearing, I believe, next week. And so we're aggressively moving forward in getting this done. Again, as you know, I wanted to get this done by the appeal deadline on the 7th. Technically the 10th of this month, but unfortunately the bill was so technical in nature that we it took longer than I thought it would to get that work done. So, but the Senate Bill 75 really doubles down, unfortunately, on the folks. I'll read subsection C that says high wildfire hazard areas means an area identified as a high wildfire hazard zone and within the wild and urban interface on the statewide wildfire hazard map described. Now, we're eliminating these maps, so that's one of the reasons why I'm just flabbergasted that that we're even going after this. But this would eliminate the opportunity for accessory dwelling units or area zone for rural and residential use. It goes after within these wildland urban interface areas. So I'm very concerned for these property owners, and I don't understand why Senator Golden and his committee are taking up this discussion in the face of the need to repeal not only the wildfires and hazard maps, but the language associated with the definition of the wildland urban interface.
And obviously, this has become really a big issue, but is it really mainly just big for the rural areas, or are there implications for people in more metro areas?
Well, as the rural maps impacted over 106,000 Oregonian landowners, what we've found is nearly 100,000 of those are in both my district and Senator Noah Robinson's district. And so it really impacts our folks here. I mean, it has, and everyone agrees that the maps are flawed beyond repair, that, but frankly, it's the language in the driving statute of Senate Bill 762 that drove the maps to the direction that they went, which is one of the reasons why it's so critical to repeal not just the maps, but all the associated language. We need to repeal, which our bills do, the disclosures with regards to real estate and that being property currently has to disclose whether or not they're within the WUI or not. And so our language repeals that as well, because what we found is it really impacts up to 4.5%. It's language from California that's impacting the property value. So we have a lot of work ahead to, with this issue. I'm glad that we have a bipartisan support to repeal and fix these issues. And I'm looking forward to, of course, working with Representative Osborne, Representative Boyce, Leader Drazen, and Senator Golden in doing just that.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. He's live from Salem. State Senator David Brocksmith just off the floor of the Senate a couple minutes before we got started as things ramping up in Salem. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, 1246 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. State Senator David Brocksmith live in Salem, just off the floor of the Senate. I know that you put out a release, I think it's every weekend or the start of the week, about bills that are particularly concerning to you. What made your latest list?
Well, thank you, Kyle. Yes, I spend between 4 and 8 hours. Because I'm a crazy person, I'm reading every bill that is in every committee in both chambers for the coming week. That's been posted, usually on Sunday afternoon. Took me about 5.5 hours yesterday, and then put together a bills of concern and bills to support list where I sent it out to my Republican colleagues in the House and Senate. And then I sent it out to the Douglas County and Curry County and Coos County Republican Precinct Committee people, and then to the Oregon Republican Party. And our secretary for the Oregon Republican Party is our own local Roseburg resident, Cherie Brady. And she, I really appreciate her as she sends that out to all the county parties in the state. And they send it out to their PCP so that we can really engage on these issues. And we've seen an uptick in testimony from residents across the state that have our conservative values and agree with my going through these bills of concern. You know, I can't have a staff member do this, of course, because for one, it's on the weekend, and for two, there's some discretion involved, and frankly, it took me a couple years to read Oregon Revised Statutes, and sometimes you have to then go reference the ORS that is referenced in the existing bill to because sometimes it just references an ORS, so you got to go see what they're talking about. But for example, this morning there was a bill that would set a pilot program for students to participate in school budgets. I mean, as a longtime school board member myself, we always took input from students. There's another piece of legislation in the House that allows students to vote for school board members, which I'm adamantly opposed to. I mean, here we did measure juvenile justice reform a few years ago in the House, and the arguments from the Democrats across the aisle were the juvenile brains don't fully develop until their mid-20s, but yet we're going to start allowing them to vote when they're 16. It's absolutely ridiculous, especially for their own school board members. That's up to their parents. There's a bill, so the bill, Senate Bill 749, up today, does that, that push to have students engaged in the school budgets. There's a bill, Senate Bill 611, that's up on committee tomorrow morning. It's a Food for All Oregonians program. You know, I for one, agree, especially when it comes to our youth, and fully support funding our school lunch program for all and even breakfast. I mean, a lot of our students, it's really the only times they ever eat. And just imagine, think about that for a minute, because it's I've seen data after data. But allowing using tax dollars to fund a supplemental, to basically open up SNAP to regardless of your immigration status, is not something that Oregon can afford. We can't continue to be everything to everyone in this state, and that is what the majority party is pushing for. And you know, budgets have consequences, and so we must realize that we have to live within our means. I mean, more than a third of our budget is funded by federal dollars, and we can't continue to sustain the adding to the deficit that we continue to do. I mean, and if we do, what's the number? Is it 50 trillion? I mean, is it 75? We can't continue to do what we're doing. We have, I'm scrolling through now. We have a bill that's going to attack our trappers. Senate bill, or House Bill 3932 would ban any trapping on federal lands of beavers. This will negatively impact our counties, Douglas County, Coos County, Curry County, and our district. The road to Agnes, as an example, is a patchwork of ownership, which includes federal ownership. And Curry County alone has over 3,000 culverts, and beavers like to block up culverts, which then just will impact that road system in negative ways, to where you can truly isolate people depending on the amount of water we get. And this last session weekend before last was a good example of the negative impacts that can be had with all the rain. And I just, my heart goes out to all of the individuals that were impacted by these floods. I've been in, of course, conversations with our county commissioners on this issue, and in conversations with the governor's office and the Oregon Emergency Management Department. And I really appreciate the leadership of our public safety and Sheriff Hanlon and Under Sheriff Odell, as well as Commissioners Quest, Boyce, and Freeman in the response. We have issues with regards to Senate Bill 712, which would increase the maximum value of property for each tax year by 3%. That's the assessed value. I have concerns about that. And then we have what I call a major threat is Senate Joint Resolution 28, which is a bill that would proposes the changes to the Constitution to create a right to a clean, safe, and healthy environment. Well, that might sound, you know, all unicorns and rainbows to most people, but really what this is, it sets up a buffet for trial lawyers to be able to go after anyone at any time. If your neighbor is mowing his lawn, and you are essentially offended by the exhaust of that lawnmower, and you could argue that they are impacting your right to a clean, safe, and healthy environment. This is a serious problem. It's up on Wednesdays in Senate Rules at 1 p.m. But let's go to, we already talked about the major threat of Senate Bill 75, but just real quick, there's some good bills coming up that we have a SGR1, which is a measure that would direct the legislature to pass laws to provide a property tax break home for seniors. It allows the people to vote for it. We have a bill that, we have always been hoping that we will move forward with forest management that's necessary, and that would bring logs to our local mills. And this bill helps incentivize the creation of a lumber grading training program so that we can, you know, a lot of our lumber grading folks are, let's face it, they're baby boomers and they're retiring out. we have a bill that's supported by Representative Scarlatos, House Bill 3920, that allows to extend the tuition waiver for veterans that can come back to school later in life rather than right away, which is a great piece of legislation. And then finally, as I know we're short on time, Mayor Powell, we have House Bill 3366 up this week that works for our wildfire training center that we're putting together in Gold Beach, north of Gold Beach, and it'd be the only one in the state that's incredibly needed.
All right, live from Salem, State Senator David Brock Smith. We'll check in again soon. David, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.